Hi guys, it's me, Anna. After all this time, I know. But I hope that y'all have been well in the accidental season break. So I guess this is now season two. Anyway, today's episode is going to be completely in English. Yay. So you don't need to worry about getting out your notebooks or pens or what have you. It's going to be a pretty chill episode since today is all about how to quickly and practically get out of a learning slump. So let's get started. So what exactly brought about this episode out of the clear blue sky? You might be wondering that. Well, So, I might have, accidentally, quite very possibly, most definitely went ghost on you guys. I know, I'm so sorry, but golly, man, life really just, it really does just come at you fast. I was not ready for it at all. Don't get me wrong, nothing terrible or traumatic, thankfully, happened in the meantime. It was just a lot of, big changes happened in a very short period. I'm still reeling from all those changes right now. But it was really just that, I had to completely rearrange my priorities in daily life on account of me not only, still working full-time, but also starting grad school. So, it was a lot to balance all at once, and I had to figure out, a new normal, and I had to do it very quickly, and I'm still, figuring that out as we speak, and it's been some months now. But because, now that I have, a more, how should I say, proper, sustainable balance between work and studying and slowly getting back the life part of that whole work-study-life balance, but now that things are more balanced and I do have some more time on my hands that I can be productive within, what I basically wanted to do was, start figuring out and finally getting back into the active of actively learning Korean with you all. The only problem is that I have been in a learning slump since, March. And, please believe you me, it is hard. It's so hard getting out of these slumps, but it's completely possible. And I know that it's possible because I've done it before, and I'm actually going to share with you the tips and tricks that I use in order to drag myself out of these slumps. But I do want to preface this by saying, if you get into a slump, it's okay. It is okay. It happens to everybody all the time. You're not alone. You don't have to freak out. You don't need to punish yourself. It's okay. It's perfectly okay. And then more than that, all of these tips that I'm going to be telling you about today, you can apply them towards other areas in your life. So if you're like me and you're in school and there are certain subjects that you don't quite like studying, but you know that you have to, but still really don't want to, you can apply these tips to that subject, or even still to the subject. To the subjects that you do like studying. It really all depends on you. But first and foremost, when it comes to getting out of learning slumps, you just have to do it. That's my first tip. You have to do it. So get into whatever spot or position you usually get into whenever, you're learning or studying, whatever's comfortable to you, and just start again. Don't worry or overthink about the logistics or whatever else you might worry about. The hardest thing that you have to do to overcome the slump is just to start. And once you get started, everything else can and will fall into place so long as you are intentional, active, and present about what you're doing. And that intentionality, activity level, and presence, that sense of presence for you can and more than likely will look completely different than what it might for me or for someone else. And that is perfectly fine and normal. But what will be the same for all of us is that we got started. So once we've gotten into our comfy pants, or no pants if you want to do that, no judgment here, and we've sat in our special seat, whether it's at our desk, on our bed, in the middle of the sofa where you're propped up upside down and you don't really care that you're taking up the entire couch because, oh well, this is your special spot, nobody else can claim it, whatever. Once you are in that spot and you're comfortable and you've decided to start, the next question that comes is, okay, crap, like, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Help. And so it's that sense of, like, so how exactly should you start learning? Well, I mean, there are plenty of ways to actually get started, but what I like to do and what I recommend to do is to start by testing yourself. Yeah. Testing yourself is a great way to ease back into studying and learning, since it forces you to actively recall information that you've learned. And there's plenty of scientific studies that have been done to show how active recall is one of, if not the most effective and efficient ways to encode and retrieve information either into or retrieve it from your long-term memory. And also, like, we live in the age of the internet, so there's plenty of free online quizzes and assessments that you can take that'll allow you to get, like, a very, very good gauge of where you are. And honestly, you'll probably surprise yourself with how much you know and remember. Furthermore, the whatever quiz or assessment that you take, it'll give you a really good jumping off point, which you can use to continue your learning. So one thing that you can do right after testing yourself is to review your old notes. Now, maybe there's something you missed on the quiz that you took and that you know you learned, but you couldn't quite remember it well enough to be sure about your answer. It's happened to me plenty of times. Still happens to me to this day. But by reviewing your notes, you're further transitioning back into studying and learning. You're getting back into that habit, and you're doing it in such a way that you're not only familiar enough with the material, but you're also more than familiar with the way the information is being presented to you. After all, you more or less know the best ways to study, and a major part of studying is presenting the information that's needed to be learned in such a way that it sticks well enough in your mind. So after you've tested yourself and reviewed your notes and you're slowly getting back into it, you know, the grammar structures, the alphabet, the sounding, you know, the cadence, all of that is slowly coming back to you, you'll have a very solid idea of where to resume your learning and or what to learn next. Now, a major, major obstacle at this point, however, is the perception that there is a lack of time. And it's so, so, so easy to believe that you can't possibly have enough time to study, since life can get so super busy and hectic. And oftentimes, it can get that way out of nowhere. Like, hello, it happened to me. But really, you know, it isn't the case that there is a lack of time. There actually is enough time in our lives. But, and this is a very, very, very big but, but our faulty perception of there being a lack of time comes from the fact that there isn't always ideal times or long enough consecutive amounts of time in which that we can use. truth is, there are enough small breaks of free time, or rather, I guess I should say, spare time in each day or week that we can use to study. We just have to figure out how much spare time and how much spare time we have, and then how much of that spare time we're willing to dedicate to studying. Overcoming this quote-unquote no-time roadblock takes a two-step approach. The first step being actively setting aside time to be dedicated to studying and learning. And the second is taking things slowly at first. Doing both of those things will keep you from feeling overwhelmed, which in turn will make you more likely to study, since you won't be caught up engaging in avoidance behaviors like procrastination. Sorry if you feel personally attacked, it's just the truth. But more than that, setting aside times makes the act of learning become intentional. It makes it become an intentional, purposeful act, since you are choosing to spend your time in this way, as opposed to using it to listlessly refresh your social media feeds because you don't know what else to do, or you can't think of anything else to do in these small breaks of time. Again, I'm sorry if that felt like a personal attack, but I do it all the time. Like, you should have seen me last night. I was on Twitter, like, refreshing it for a good 5 minutes, even though I saw all the tweets on my feed. And that was 5 minutes that I could have been using to, like, review an old grammar structure. So, it's a matter of, one, being aware of the time that you have, the downtime that you have. And then, two, being aware of how you choose to use that time. Now, what I recommend to do, once you've figured out, you know, that you have that time, what I recommend to do is just to set aside at least 10 to 30 minutes in the beginning of you reestablishing your study habits, because you can get quite a bit of learning done in those small chunks of time. Plus, it ensures that you're taking things slowly enough in the beginning so you, again, don't feel overwhelmed, and it makes sure it also makes, how do I want to say this? Basically, it ensures that you have a chance to make slight, easily incorporated changes into your schedule. If you can manage to set aside the minute, like 10 minutes a day, or maybe 30 minutes every other day, or 15 minutes at the beginning of one day and 25 minutes at the end of another day, whatever the case may be, you will undoubtedly see bit by bit by bit by bit that there have been and will be improvements in your learning, and that those improvements that you get over time, that's really the most important thing when it comes to learning. And basically, you can sum all of what I just said up into one word: progress. The whole point of learning is to see the progress that you're making over time. And any type of, what I like to say in my life in regards to many different things, is any type of motion, so long as it's not backward, is progress. So, like, for me, because I have been in the slump since, like, March, early April, one of those. Basically, even though I haven't been actively studying, I've still been able to more or less so maintain my skills, my language skills with regard to Korean, because, you know, on Instagram and Twitter, when I'm caught up, like, listlessly refreshing my feeds because I don't know what else to do. Sorry, I just feel personally attacked while I'm admitting these things. But basically, I follow, you know, some of my favorite celebrities who either are Korean or speak Korean. And they'll, like, include, obviously, Korean in their captions, or they'll post videos where they're talking in Korean, on Netflix. On the occasions that I get a chance to actually sit down and watch Netflix, I'll watch Korean shows, not even just dramas. There's lots of variety shows, that I watch. And so it's just different things like that. Like, I was still maintaining my level, but being somewhat engaged with the language on, like, a weekly basis. And that has allowed me to not necessarily get more advanced in my learning, but it's helped me to maintain my resolve to learn the language, if that makes sense. And so just doing stuff like that, like, that can help. Like, there's a lot of grammar that's actually present in captions on Instagram or tweets, especially tweets. Especially, like, if your faves like to tweet in, like, slang or, like, to, you know, tweet cutesily. Like, there's plenty of stuff within those tweets and captions and videos and what have you that you can dig into. And so that's something else that you can do within those, like, 10 to 30 minutes that you manage to find. Aside from, you know, like, cracking open your grammar book or, like, working on your script. Like, actually writing out the words in, like, on a sheet of paper instead of typing it. But typing it is good, too. It is good. But, you know, if you can, if you're able to, I would definitely recommend, like, writing it out so that things stick more in your head. I just realized that I went off on a complete tangent. I'm so sorry. But yeah, you want to make sure that you're not diving too far too fast, basically. Because if you get into things too deep, you're going to burn out quickly. And if you burn out quickly, then you basically just have, like, an extended slump. And that's not particularly good in the long term. The downfalls of learning. But anyway. So, now that, you know, you have chosen to start again, you have tested yourself, and you've reviewed your notes, and then you've decided, okay, on this day, I'm going to spend X amount of time studying. So by the end of the week, I will have spent Y amount of time total studying. And you realize that, you know, you're not trying to go too far too fast. How you choose to study and learn, like, it's completely up to you. And that's basically, like, what part of my tangent was about. Sorry. But yeah, so how you choose to study and learn, that's completely up to you. But you want to make sure that you can maintain your motivation for as long as possible to avoid another slump for as long as you can. And again, wow, I love that my tangent, like, went on to transition me sloppily, but still, into my next point. So yeah. What I recommend to do in order to maintain your motivation is to, one, remember your original intention, aka why you started learning Korean in the first place. And then I also recommend that you set a new, fun, and or inspiring goal that you can readily strive toward and eventually achieve. So what I mean by that is you don't want to set, like, a goal that's too lofty straight off the bat, because that's very counterproductive in, you know, maintaining your motivation. Small goals. The smaller the goal, the quicker you can achieve it, the better you'll feel about yourself. But we'll talk about that, like, a bit later on. Now, I find that remembering the initial reason that I decided to learn Korean is it's a great way to see how much progress I've made, as well as to see the ways in which my intention may or may not have changed over time. I originally wanted to learn Korean not only because I found the language beautiful, but because I was sick and tired of waiting for subs on the videos that I was watching. And I was like, I can't do this. I cannot wait, like, 3 weeks just to watch, like, an episode of, like, I don't know, of of Hello Counselor, or at the time, like, I was super obsessed with Abnormal Summit, you know, different variety shows, things like that. I was like, I want to learn right now. Well, not I want to learn. I want to know what they're saying right now, right in this minute. And I was like, well, the only way to really do that is to learn Korean. Okay, fine. Let's learn Korean. But yeah. So now that I'm, you know, like a couple years down the line, I still have to wait a little bit for subs, but it's not because I don't necessarily understand what they're saying. I now am at a place where I can get the general gist of what they're saying. It's just I'm not yet at the place where I can get down into all the fine details of their speech, of what's being said, so that it's an automatic, like, instant translation that's happening in my head. Sorry, I thought I had to sneeze. Excuse me. Don't have to sneeze. But what I mean by that is, like, if I watch a video, I can get, like, maybe, I can understand about 60% of what's being said, but of that 60%, I still have to translate things from Korean into English in my head to make it make sense enough for me. And then of the 40% that I don't understand, I am completely lost. And so it's a matter of me waiting for the subs to see, okay, what was said, so I can 100% understand in English, and then figuring out, okay, of what's in the English subs versus what was said in Korean, of that 40% that I didn't understand, what are some context clues that I can use to look up about certain grammar structures or vocabulary that I may not know based off of that 40%? And then, furthermore, I can also use those English subs to help me more quickly translate the 60% that I did know from Korean into English, and to go step beyond that to get away from translating it all together in my head. Like, just being able to look at the Korean, whether look at or hear the Korean, whether it's being spoken, you know, in more formal situations or more casual situations at higher speeds or lower speeds, being able to understand it as Korean in my mind and know what they're saying in Korean within my mind without having to translate it into English. I'm sure that I just explained that so roundabout. But yeah, that's how it is. So my original intention was to learn Korean so I didn't have to wait on subs. My current intention is still pretty much the same as my original one, but is now more so about me wanting to understand the finer details of the language so I can use it and understand it more easily, I guess. But then let's see. And as for my current goals, well, to back it up, I believe that having new goals, especially fun ones and inspiring ones, ones that make me want to achieve them, I believe that having those types of goals that I, you know, would like to accomplish before the next slump hits, because, like, let's be real right here, slumps are inevitable. Like, they're gonna happen. You can't avoid them. Well, you can avoid them, but you can't avoid them. You can't avoid them completely. So, there's that. But yeah, having goals that I would like to accomplish before the next slump hits, it refreshes my passion for learning and it keeps me engaged in the journey. So for this go round, like, my goal is to be able to speak more naturally and readily with my friends who are also learning Korean, as well as to the few native speakers that I now know, like, whenever I see them. Now, will I be able to deliver a 30-minute speech by the time my next slump rolls around? I doubt it highly. Like, I'm going to put a big no on that. But I know that I can at least have a 5-minute no English conversation with them. So that's what I'm aiming towards being able to do. Now, my last tip before I wrap this episode is probably my most important and biggest one. And I'm going to repeat it multiple times so that you understand it, you take it to heart, and you use it. Relax. 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 Just relax, relax, relax. Calm down, chill out, take a step back, take a breath. Just relax. Please, relax. Like, I'm begging you to relax. Too often, I see people freaking out about the fact that they haven't touched their grammar book in a few months, or haven't spoken or listened to Korean in a long while, or haven't even looked at Hangul in like a week. And they just get so stressed out because they're caught up thinking about how they were supposed to, quote unquote, be at this level by this time, but they're really on that level, and there's no way that they'll ever speak it fluently now, and blah, 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 tears, chaos, destruction, yada, yada, yada. And I just, it makes me want to grab them and tell them to calm down. Just calm down. It is really not that deep. Like, I promise you, it's not that deep. Life is meant to get in the way of your plans, and there's hardly anything that you can really do about it. So why freak out and work yourself up into a frenzy over what you cannot control? Instead of, you know, like, freaking out and spiraling down into an anxiety rabbit hole, which I myself am very, very, very guilty of doing it, like, it's second nature to me. But it's just like, instead of doing that, instead of freaking out over things that we cannot control, why not, I don't know, channel all that energy, the good and the bad, the anxious and the worried and the stressed and all of that. Just channel all of that energy into adjusting to and growing from your new normal. Not only will it make you much more productive than you would be if you were just to sit in a ball of anxiety, but it's also so much healthier for you because it is much more sustainable. So please, relax. Give yourself a break and understand that you are doing the best that you can with what you have right now. And that is more than enough. So, take a deep breath in, hold it, a little bit more, blow it out, and relax. Please, I'm begging you. This has been a PSA. Now that we are all relaxed, and I have given you all my tips, actually, let me summarize my tips for you. So, my first tip is, number one, just do it. Just get started. Don't overthink it. Don't try to worry about the logistics. Just do it. Or, I guess I should say, just decide to do it. My second tip is to test yourself. Go online. There's plenty of free, like, quizzes, tests, assessments that you can use to figure out, you know, how much vocabulary that you know, how well you can use grammar, how advanced you are in general with regards to being able to understand, comprehend, write, and I think even speak in Korean. I think that there are some tests that you have to, like, speak into. Next tip is to look back over your notes. Because you have written your notes and you tend to write your notes in a way that makes sense to you, not only will it help you basically refresh yourself on what you've learned, but it'll also prime you and get you ready, you know, to learn newer things. Because you'll see, where you left off, and you'll also have a better understanding of what you need to work on next, whether it's learning something completely new or improving upon a specific point. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Let's see. Tip number four is to be purposeful and dedicate some time to learning. And it can be at least 10 to 30 minutes. So whether you can set aside 30 minutes a day or 30 minutes every other day or just 30 minutes total for a week, that's fine. You just have to be intentional and set aside time. And then you also have to remember, tip number 5, to take things slow. You don't want to dive into the deep end without knowing how to swim. Like, it's not going to work well for you at all. So you want to take things slow. Dip your toe back into the water. Ease into it. Slowly and surely. And bit by bit by bit by bit, you'll be able to build upon what you've learned in the past before the slump, as well as start learning more things before the next slump. So just take it slow. There's no rush whatsoever. Tip number 6 is to remember your original intention. What made you start learning Korean? Think about it. If you have that same intention, fantastic. If your intention has changed slightly or completely, still fantastic. But just remembering that original intention really will help put things into perspective, and it'll make things a lot, I don't necessarily want to say easier, but it'll make things more comfortable for you, because you'll realize just how much progress you've made. And then with regards to how much more progress you want to make, my 7th tip is to set a fun and or inspiring new goal. Something that you can actively work towards step by step and still readily achieve before, you know, the next slump hits, or even get close to achieving, just in case something else happens in your life and you have to, like, again, move away from learning and step back into something else. And then my last, most important tip is to relax. Don't beat yourself up. Life happens as it's meant to happen. You can't control everything, and that's fine. You are doing your best. You will keep doing your best. And that's all that matters. So don't forget about it, okay? Promise? Good. But yeah, that is everything for this episode. As always, if you have any questions about anything that I've said or any tips that you would like to give me so I can share with others, feel free to leave me a voice message on Anchor, which is a free app that you can download, or you can go onto their website, which is anchor.fm. Ooh, I just did a perfect tongue pop. That, like, never happens to me. you can also email me at lostinmykoreantranslations@gmail.com. Again, it's lostinmykoreantranslations@gmail.com. You can also private message me or send me an ask on my blog, which is, again, lostinkoreantranslations.tumblr.com. So lostinkoreantranslations.tumblr.com. Or you can shoot me a DM on my Instagram, which is let me double check. I want to make sure I'm telling you right. It's been a while since I've been on my Instagram. I'm kind of at a crossroads on my Instagram because I want to change it, but I don't know how to change it. And then again, because I've just been so busy with life, I have not had a chance to really be on it as actively as I want to. And plus, Instagram was consistently screwing up my algorithm. Not even screwing up my algorithm. It was just screwing up everything, period. Because, I don't have a huge following over there. But anyway, my Instagram handle is the same as my Tumblr. It's Lost in Korean Translations. So, there you go. I will say, if you want me to see your message straight away, just hit the follow button before you DM me. That way, I'll get the notification that you have messaged me and I can respond to you quickly. Because Instagram likes to eat up any DMs that have been sent to me by non-followers. And I'm really tired of Instagram altogether. So, yeah. Lastly, if you weren't able to catch me on my blog or my Instagram or you sent me an email, but for some reason I didn't see it because I don't know why I wouldn't see it. But anyway, feel free to also go onto my Patreon. And I believe that you should be able to send me a message without being a patron on my Patreon. But, you know, if you want to be my patron on Patreon, by all means, please go ahead and do so. I have a bunch of different reward tiers, and it ranges from $1 a month up to $15 a month. So whatever you can afford, if you want to, I would love to have your patronage. But yeah, my Patreon is Lost in My Korean Translation. So go to patreon.com/lostinmykoreantranslations. So Patreon is patreon.com/lostinmykoreantranslations. And I'll make sure to include all of my social media information in the description of this episode so that you all will be able to find me. But yeah, that is everything that I have for this episode. I don't know when I will be able to upload another episode, but I have been working on some scripts for grammar points and different things like that. So I'm hoping to be able to record a bunch of episodes so I can have them already pre-recorded. Obviously, so I can more readily publish them. But yeah, just really thank all of you so much for all of your support. It means the world to me, and I really cannot express how grateful that I am to you guys without getting super sappy and emotional. And I know that, you know, people don't always like to hear emotions, and I don't always like to express my emotions either. But yeah, I'm done for this episode. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you all have amazing days, weeks, months, years, lives. Bye.